Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 123, New Covenant Beneficiaries. Enoch Paul and Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message via live stream from Fort Wayne, Indiana on April 5th, 2020.
You are to return to your tents in the morning. Eat unleavened bread for 6 days. On the seventh day, there is to be a solemn assembly to the Lord your God. Do not do any work. All righty. Beautiful portion, very descriptive, very particular. The Lord is very particular. You might have figured out by now that God has very specific tastes, and he likes very specific things. My family and I are reading through, we have read through the book of Exodus. Now we are in the book of Leviticus, as we call it, Vayikra in Hebrew. You're reading that very specific. God is very, very specific. I also found that God likes cars, and he likes Japanese cars for some reason. Because it says in Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they're all with one accord in one place. Now that day, I think, is a Honda Accord, I'm presuming. And they all had gathered in one accord. That was must be a big accord. My first car was a Honda Accord. And again, one of the months in the Hebrew calendar is a Nissan. I'm thinking, geez, God loves Japanese cars. Anyway, this is the month of Nissan in the Jewish, the Hebrew calendar. We are in the month of Nissan. And it is very significant, very important. It's got some feasts and festivals, celebrations here. And I'm going to talk about that very briefly and then pass on to the next person. See, Nisan is the month of beginnings. It is the first month. Like we have January in our solar calendar, in the lunar calendar, in the Hebrew calendar, Nisan is the first month, or also Abib. Abib, actually, that we read here, is called fruits, the first fruits, the budding. And if you read in detail, and I won't go into the details, it's the when the things start budding, the barley starts budding. So it's called the month of Abib or Nisan. And God has designated it to be very important because throughout the Bible, if you see, it was in the month of Nisan, and actually God says that this will be perpetually your first month because that's the that's when they started from Egypt into the promised land, into the newness. So the new promised land, they're going through undertaking a journey. So it means the beginning. It means newness, the new year. It's everything is new. How appropriate that at this time in our world, we need the newness of God to keep us renewed in him when all the world around us is looking at devastation. We're looking at God is always up to something and he's creating something new. Jesus said, behold, I make all things new. So we know that in this month of beginnings and newness, we can look forward to that. And every year it changes because the Hebrew calendar is based out of the lunar calendar. So this year it started March 26th. Nisan was March 26th. And you know, to me, when that started, it was very significant because today's buzzword is social distancing. Stay, you know, 6 feet apart. Now, last week I read it's actually 27 feet apart. And, you know, our social distancing is going, you know, further and further away. Regardless of what they say, you know, for us, it's a new beginning because God is bringing us together in him for as a new people. We are most peculiar, you know, called a peculiar nation is because when the world runs helter-skelter, we can run together with God and do great and mighty things. So this, the month of Nisan signifies that. The second thing is, you know, on the 10th day, today is what, April 5th. Yesterday, April 4th, was the 10th day of the month of Nisan in this calendar, today, this year's calendar. And the 10th day is very significant. And I can't ask you, can you tell me, somebody can tell me what it is, but I'll tell you what it is. it was on the 10th day that they would bring the lambs for examination. They would bring it into the house. They would examine the lamb for 5 days, 4 to 5 days. And on the end of those examination period, that lamb was sacrificed. It was not like any lamb running around in the pastures. It was special designated lamb that was kept, that the shepherds brought it. And you know what happened? When Jesus was here, on that year, Jesus sat on a donkey on the 10th day, and he passed through all those little villages and came into Jerusalem to be examined prior to his sacrifice. That was Nisan 10th. And the significant day is, on that same day, when Jesus, the true Lamb of God, entered Jerusalem riding on the donkey, he was examined truly by those priests and teachers of the law. And however, they couldn't find any fault with him. And on the 14th day of Nisan, very significant. Remember, the first day is the beginning, 10th day, the day of examination of the lamb. And on the 14th day is the day for sacrifice. This year, it'll fall on April 8th. April 8th is Passover. This is when the lamb was sacrificed. And we can read that in 1 Corinthians 5:7. What's significant about Passover? And you know the story, when God told the Israelites, sacrifice a lamb, put it on the doorpost, so when the angel of death comes in, he will pass over. And wherever the blood was, hallelujah, wherever the blood was, are you under the blood? Are you under the blood? Wherever there is the blood, the sacrificial blood, oh my goodness, no demon of hell can come against. Nothing can stand against. In fact, with the blood on your side, you can go against anything and everything, and it shall flee. The very Lord of the flies, the father of flies, the enemy, he will flee. Actually, he'll flee like this. He'll put his tail behind his legs and run like a dog that just got bitten. He's a wimp. He's got nothing new to show. But the blood stands against everything that comes against us. So Jesus was sacrificed on the 14th of Nisan. In this year's calendar, it'll be April 8th. We celebrate Passover. The lamb is sacrificed. What does this... let me lay out another thing for those who may not know. When we say Passover, is a number of days. It consists of three things: the day of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, and the feast of first fruits. Those three things can fall within these days. So I talked about the Passover, which in this year, 2020, will fall on April 8th, which is Nisan 14th. And then right next to the very next day starts a seven-day feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I told you, Passover symbolizes death. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was crucified. He was examined for 4 days, crucified. But you know, the interesting thing about that is, Jesus did not die for you. Yes, you heard it right. Jesus did not die for you. He died as you. He didn't just die for you. We think, oh, he died there. He did that thing. No. He died as Cheryl. He died as Don. He died as Enoch. He died as Thomas. And you know what he said, his famous words, when he was there, hanging there, paying that? He said, it is finished. And because he said it, it is done. It settled it. So Passover symbolizes the death. Now the second thing, Nisan 15th to the 21st, the 7 days, in our calendar, April 9th to the 15th is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And this is when we, symbolically in the Jewish homes, we remove all the leaven, all of the breads and all of that, and we take it out, we burn it. We're trying to finish up all our bread. not that the social distancing, I can't even go out for a jog, I'm putting on weight, now eat all the bread, leftover bread, yeah. My pant buttons are social distancing. They're moving apart, So I'll have to start exercising soon. But you know, on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we remove that hametz, all the breads and leaven, anything in the house. When you say, okay, this relates to the story of Israelites coming out of Egypt, what did they do? Guess what? They passed through the Red Sea. It was the baptism, the burial. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the second thing here in this festival, it symbolizes burial. The old man is dead. You and I, when we are in Christ, we are dead and buried, never to rise up as the old person, but as a new creation. So when Jesus was buried, you and I were buried. You and I have settled the account. Now you can look at yourself in the mirror or just, you know, on the camera and say, you look quite dead to me. You know what? That's the truth. You are quite dead. The only thing is we're not stinking because we're in Christ. We're stinking good. Isn't that a good thing? You know, we are afraid, people are afraid of death because, you know, that's the fear. But we fear God, and we are resurrected beings. We will be resurrected one day. We don't fear death. Death has no hold over us. So now that's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The third, which falls on Nisan 18th, and this year it'll be April 12th, is the Feast of First Fruits. Now that is the first day after the weekly Shabbat. Of, you know, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the 7 days. If you look at the Sabbath there, the first day after that would be the Feast of First Fruits. So the Feast of First Fruits and Passover is one day. And in between, or wherever it falls, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 7 days. By the way, here's a caveat, an interesting thing. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the last day are Shabbats. They are called High Shabbats. In other words, all the Shabbats, you know, it starts Friday evening and finishes Saturday evening, right? Those are called the weekly Shabbats. But God has placed special High Shabbats that can fall within the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Saturday, or Sunday. Did you know when Jesus was crucified and he was buried, it was a High Shabbat because they had to take him down. So if you look at it, you couldn't be buried on Friday and rise up on Sunday because it's day and a half. It says he was there 3 days and three nights. You can't fit 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday. So what happened? He actually was put inside the tomb that Joseph had Wednesday night. Because that, in that year, what, 33 AD or whatever, close to that, was a High Shabbat. So they had to take him down, put him inside the tomb, 3 days, three nights, Saturday, boom, Jesus rose up. Because that was the resurrection day. That is interesting. So here we see in these feasts, the death, the burial, and in the Feast of First Fruits, which he became the first fruit, symbolizing resurrection. Who was the first one to rise from the dead? Jesus. And because he did, we will be. So what's the significance of Nisan? Brothers and sisters, this is the great news. The new beginnings because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is our birthright. You and I are redeemed. You and I have been put in Christ. We're dead to the old man. We have been buried and we have been resurrected. What do you mean you have been resurrected? I am living by faith that I will stay up one day, look into Jesus, and he'll say, well done, because death cannot hold me in. Now, there is a physical death here because, you know, you don't want to live in this world. You know, there's corona and morona and cholera and this and that, all those things. But hey, guess what? We have a better world. In fact, that world is much more real. Billy Graham said this. You might hear one day, Billy Graham is dead. Billy Graham is dead. He says, don't you ever believe that, because at that time, I'll be more alive than I am right now. Beloved, we are entitled to life everlasting. And these days, these beautiful symbols, the feasts in the month of Nisan, should remind us that we are truly special being. You know, we talk about the death, burial, and resurrection. And because Jesus said, we will too. And so I want to encourage you to know that you are not just another person here on earth. You are the blood brought, chosen, special creation. And because he makes all things new, for us, it is our entitlement to believe it and receive it. Whether it's in your body, for your health, for your protection, or for your wealth, for just living in the world, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. You have been given power, dominion, authority, all things. You've been given everything pertaining to life and godliness. So let's live like it. We are the people of the month of Nisan. We are the newness of life. And it's interesting that God would put it. The Israelites came out. The Ten Commandments were given in Nisan. Oh my goodness. If you study all that God in the month of Nisan, it is beautiful. I don't have time right now. And then the ultimate thing, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, right there. It is also said by some of the Jewish scholars that Jesus was actually born in Nisan. Because they said, if you count 9 days, 9 months prior, they record that John, Zechariah, heard the angel come and proclaim that he will have John the Baptist, you know, his son. And then 6 months later, that was the ninth month before Nisan. Isn't that interesting? I really think God's trying to say Nisan is something significant, very important. So this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and celebrate God's feasts, God's Shabbats, God's goodness, and his word. And as we dig deeper, more and more secrets are revealed. Now I can go on and on, but I'll have to stop. So God bless you. Know that he has made all things new. And because you are new on the inside, he's also sanctifying the outside. And we can walk in newness of life. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Glory. And it's a great day to be alive. These are different kinds of days. So we are so grateful that you could join us today in this way on Zoom. And we're welcoming also those that are listening by podcast. So today is the traditional celebration of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But we're also, it's a day that we here are celebrating communion. You know, Jesus did it with his disciples in Jerusalem. On the Passover, he instituted what we call communion. This is one of the greatest and the most powerful sacraments, entailing forgiveness of sin. It entails healing and also eternal salvation, because our salvation is wrapped up in the blood of Jesus. We're so thankful and grateful that he reconciled us to the Father, so that we could be part of his kingdom and that we can be eternally his. So this memorial enshrines really his body that was broken for us in the new covenant, ratified with his blood. The Apostle Peter described it this way: he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So we invite you, we invite our podcast listeners to join us as full partakers and partners in the new and the better covenant, the one that was established by Jesus on better promises. So today I want to just talk to you for a couple of minutes before we receive communion together. We hope that you have the communion elements ready and that you're ready to receive with us. And I want to speak to you about new covenant beneficiaries. You know, a beneficiary is somebody that receives something, usually upon the death of the other. For instance, if you're a life insurance beneficiary, if somebody dies and they've designated you as the beneficiary, you're the recipient of whatever they've designated, whatever the amount of that policy is. So this is a powerful covenant that we have with God. It's an awesome and wonderful covenant of God. I was reminded a few years ago, actually it's more than a few years ago, in the early 90s, when I was with Dr. Lester Sumrall, and the World Operation Director for his Feed the Hungry program. We were working in the nation of Zimbabwe. And in Zimbabwe, there was a great drought, and the elephants, the wild animals were dying, and all kinds of things were happening. In fact, that year, we even had the government of Zimbabwe gave us elephants, and they actually butchered the elephants, and they dried the meat, and they gave the people the dried meat as part of their diet during that drought time. It was an amazing time. But my friend Jeff, he was going from village to village and preaching the gospel in Zimbabwe, and he was preaching different stories from the Bible. In one village, he preached about Elijah. Elijah was the prophet who prayed for rain, he said, and when he prayed for rain, God heard him, and rain was coming. And then he said, you know, it says in the New Testament that we're just like Elijah. And the prayer, the effective, powerful prayer of a righteous person avails much. So in that village, there was an old man, an elderly man. He had a little farming kind of garden plot that he had to plant his corn in, but nobody was planting corn those years because of the drought. They knew they would get it. They were eating the corn and not planting it. But this man listened to that message, and he believed what the preacher said. He believed that if he could be like Elijah, he could pray and God would send rain. So he planted his corn that year, and he began to pray. And the amazing thing was the rain did come. It came to his village. It rained just on his plot, just in his area, on his house and on his plot. And that year his crop grew up. So all of his neighbors were watching this because none of them had planted anything in the first place. They were getting no rain on theirs, but he was getting rain on his because he prayed and he believed God. He had a covenant with God. And God made his crops come up. So when the harvest time came, he harvested his corn. He had so much that he had more than he needed for himself. So he sold a portion of that, and he bought some boots so that he could go from village to village to village and preach about this man, Elijah, who prayed, and God opened the heavens and brought rain. And so he experienced the power of covenant giving, that God blessed him and gave him a crop even in famine. You know, there's a story about Isaac in the Bible that he sowed in famine, and that year he received 100-fold. So it's amazing, amazing what can happen when you're in covenant with God. So I want to speak about that a little bit today. We just heard a bit about the blood covenant when Enoch was ministering and when Pastor Israel was talking. The power of the blood covenant that the enslaved descendants of Jacob had when they came through Passover, the blood of the lamb that was on the door and that was on the lintel, the doorpost and the lintel, it not only saved them from death of the firstborn, but it propelled them into freedom from slavery in Egypt. What a powerful, awesome covenant was. That covenant didn't start there. It started in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, actually. And was passed on to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and now to the children of Israel. Amazing how the covenant power of God works. There's an amazing story in Genesis 22. We won't read the whole story, but I'll just refer to some sections. And in Genesis 22, it's a story about Abraham taking his son Isaac to Mount Moriah to actually give him to God, to surrender his son to God. You remember the story of Abraham? He and his wife were believing for God, and in their old age, they were believing for children. God had promised them many descendants, but they had none. So this son was born to them, named Isaac, the person called Laughter, and he was the joy of his father's heart. But then one day God came to him and said, you know, I want your son, your only son. And so he conceived that that must have meant that he needed to sacrifice Isaac. So he began the journey to take Isaac up the mountain. So here he was going to lose his son. In the New Testament, it says, you know, that Abraham believed that if he had to sacrifice his son, that God would even raise him from the dead and give him back. What an amazing, amazing faith Abraham had in his covenant with God. But he understood one thing, that when you're in covenant with God, or if you're in covenant with a person, whatever you have belongs to God. Whatever you have belongs to the person that you're in covenant with. And so he was required by covenant to do what God asked him to do, because he was a covenant-keeping man, and he knew God was a covenant-keeping God. So the Bible says that when they came to that place, this is in Genesis 22, verse 9, the place which God had told him, Abram built the altar there. He laid the wood on the altar. He bound Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took his knife to slaughter his son. You know, on the way up to that mountain, the son had said to him, Isaac had said to him, Father, we've got the fire, we've got the knife, we've got everything here, we've got the wood, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. So now he's at that point, he's laid Isaac there, and it says that the angel of the Lord, verse 11, called out to him from heaven and said, Abram, Abram. And he said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do any harm, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abram lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abram went and took the ram, and he offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abram called the place, that place, the Lord will provide. You know, we would say Jehovah Jireh is the, or Jehovah Yireh, the Hebrew for that. As it is to this day, on the mount of the Lord shall be provided. Verse 15 records that the angel of the Lord called to Abram a second time from heaven, and he said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply your offspring of the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemy, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. You know, today we are living in that blessing. We are living in that blessing because of the seed of Abraham came Jesus. And Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, the Passover lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, the Bible says, and we're walking in that covenant blessing. So in that sense, we are new covenant beneficiaries. We're the beneficiaries of what God covenanted with Abraham, with Isaac and Jacob, and even back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. On the cross, Jesus became the Passover lamb. He was the one who was slain. In a vision, John looked across the centuries and the millennia, and he wrote this in John in Revelation chapter 11, says in verse 11, Revelation 5, verse 11, he said, then I looked and I heard around the throne and living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels numbering myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. So here on this side of eternity, we sing there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's still power in the blood of the Lamb, and he certainly is worthy. There we'll sing it with the angels, but here we can sing it together. We can join together and praise and worship the one who is worthy of all honor and power and glory, because he is the Lamb that was slain for us, for our sins. He is the one whose body was broken for our sicknesses. So in the old Passover covenant, there was healing and there was forgiveness. The Bible says that when the children of Israel They left the land of Egypt. They walked through the desert. David records in Psalm 105, verse 37, that there was not one feeble among their tribe. Can you imagine that? Over possibly 3 million people, and not one person was sick. Not one person had COVID-19 or corona or anything, because of the lamb that was slain, the body that was broken, that they ingested, and the blood that was put on the doorpost. Amazing, 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 the power of a covenant-keeping God, the same God that you and I have a covenant with through the blood of Jesus. Jesus is the Passover lamb. Peter wrote about it this way, 1 Peter 1, verse 18. He said, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways you inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So I want to just kind of close off this message, and then we're going to receive communion by looking at what takes place in communion. What happens when we receive communion together? What can we expect? Today, I'm expecting miracles and healings. I'm expecting a wave of healing, expecting a wave of miracles to come over us as we partake together. But look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 about the communion and the covenant dealing with sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. It says, therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with that temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Verse 14 says, therefore, my beloved, flee idolatry. You see, God wants you to serve him. He's the covenant-keeping God. He's got a covenant with you. So he says, flee idolatry. Verse 15, he says, I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? So what happens in communion? It's participation in the body. It's participation in the blood of Jesus, the Messiah, the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. Verse 17 says, because there's one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. So it has to do with our unity in Christ and our union with him. And this covenant of which we are beneficiaries, this powerful covenant, releases the blessing of God, releases the anointing of God, releases the forgiveness of God, releases the healing power of God to everybody who will partake. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 27, it says that Jesus took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant. Listen, it says, this is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So when we receive communion, we receive the fruit of the vine, and we receive the bread, and we're partakers of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We're a participant in his suffering and death. And as Enoch so eloquently pointed out, when Jesus died, he didn't die for you. You died with him there. You were crucified with Christ, the Bible says. Nevertheless, you live, but not just you, but Christ lives in you. So it has to do with this oneness in the body. So Jesus was the Passover lamb, the one who was slain, the one who ratified this new covenant, who mediated this new covenant established on better promises. But the communion also deals with sickness. It doesn't deal just with forgiveness of sins, remission of sins, but also with sickness. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 and 24, it says, "For I have received of the Lord, which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, by whose wounds you have been healed." In Isaiah 53, it says, "He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed." So forgiveness and healing are tied up together in the death of Jesus, the body and the blood, the blood shed for you, the body broken for you. So what do we take away from this? Well, today we can't look in the hearts of anybody to see if they're saved. Communion is for believers. We want you to participate with us. But if there's something that you're unrepentant of, you need to repent now before you receive. We want you to receive the full benefit of the covenant. If you're not saved, if you haven't accepted Jesus as Lord, you need to be saved in order to be communing with the body of Christ, to be a partaker of his suffering and death and his resurrection and his life that he's given to you. And so we encourage you to join with us, but of course in the right way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, going back there, just I read a little bit ago, but I want to start with verse 23. Paul says, "I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So today we break the bread together in this memorial service, and we say, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." Those are the words of Jesus. Those are covenant words. Those are words for you. Receive your healing and receive the body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for your body that's broken for us. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross, suffering immensely, suffering unimaginably, suffering so much that they couldn't even recognize you as a man, the Bible says, so that we could be healed and delivered from sickness and weakness and infirmity of every kind. Thank you that you also took our sins in that body that was broken for us. And thank you, Father, that we can commemorate this time together of what Jesus did for us, the price he paid. The Bible says, Father, that all of the handwritings of the ordinances that were written against us were nailed to the cross when Jesus was there. All of the accusations, all of the legal briefs filed against us were nailed to that cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you took our sins, you took our sicknesses, you took our diseases. In this Power Pack memorial, we declare and we release the healing power from heaven to come over you in Jesus' name. In verse 25, it says, "The same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood.'" See, there it says, it's the new covenant in his blood, the powerful blood of Jesus. He said, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me," or as a memorial to me. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim or memorialize the Lord's death until he comes." So let's drink together. Jesus, we thank you for your blood. Lord, without your blood, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And your blood was enough. It covered it, all of our sins, past, present, and future. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that now we're accepted in the Beloved. Thank you, Jesus, that you reconciled us to the Father, and you've given us a ministry of reconciliation. Thank you, Jesus, for that wonderful, precious covenant that you ratified, the one that you mediated based on better promises in your word. We praise you for it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. So in this power-packed memorial, we declare the release and remission of sins over you. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiveness of sins. I want to close off this part of it with Psalm 103. The first few verses, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all my iniquity, who heals all of my diseases, who redeems your life from destruction or from the pit, and who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Amen. So I want to say that psalm again. I want to say that psalm again and just repeat after me. I'll give you time to repeat it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgives all my iniquity.
Who forgives all my iniquity.
Who heals all my diseases.
Who heals all my diseases.
Who redeems my life from the pit.
Who redeems my life from the pit.
Who crowns me with steadfast love and mercy.
Who crowns me with steadfast love and mercy.
Who satisfies me with good.
Who satisfies me with good.
So that my youth is renewed like an eagle's.
So that my youth is renewed like an eagle's.
Amen.
Amen.
It is so.
It is so.
Praise the Lord forever.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us in communion today. We're just believing that God is wonderfully and powerfully and magnificently blessing you in this time, that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal of the flesh, but they're mighty through God to demolish strongholds. And this stronghold of COVID, this stronghold of Corona is dead in Jesus' name, dead on arrival. If it tries to come to your house, if it tries to come to your family or to you personally, in Jesus' name, you have the protection of God. Psalm 91 protection. No evil shall befall you. No plague shall come near your dwelling. Just want to remind you, you know, fill yourself up with the Word of God. These are times, you know, maybe you have more time to do some of those things because you're not going somewhere else. You're maybe stuck at home or locked down or whatever it is that they say we are. So use that time wisely. Meditate on the Word of God. Go to mfhfw.org or .com and download the healing scriptures. There's 45 of them there. Get them inside of you. Put them inside of you. Powerfully use them against the weapon that's been formed against us, because there's power in the blood and there's power in the Word of God. But there's only power there's only power when you receive by the blood of Jesus. So right now I want to pray for Cheryl because she's scheduled for some surgery this week. We're believing God for miracles, healings, and blessing to come to her. So let's pray for her, and then I'm going to open it up, and Thomas is going to recognize any of those of you who have some prayer requests or prayer needs, and various people will be praying over you this morning. We're going to close out the service by praying for every need that you have that you would like us to pray for. So right now we just pray for Cheryl.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House Podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.